And that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is 1903 UTC, and it is, what day is it? It is August 23rd, 2022. I had an interesting work day so far. I'm a little frustrated because I don't like driving my car. I prefer to ride the motorcycle. And the weatherman promised that it would be rainy all day today. But alas, it is not. See, the weather app says that it is currently, it's 82 degrees US, so we're just in the 30s, low 30s, so such is life. Anywho, we gotta talk about news. To talk about news, we gotta talk about calm. Talk about calm. Ouch, I twisted my knee, climb on this spot that I like to sit on. Ouch. I hope that's not a problem later. I've noticed that nowadays. Whenever something used to, when I would twist something or step on something, it would hurt. And then it would just go away. It would feel better later. Now, it hurts. And then it goes away. And then after I sleep, when I wake up, it hurts again. It's a bonus pain. Anyway, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about news, 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 news. So if you would like to join in with the party while we talk, all you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org, then launch com at C-O-M. Just type C-O-M at the command prompt, then press, once you press enter there, you'll see a little on radio, or you'll hit see com. Press G for go to, then type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word, and boom, you'll be hanging out with Tobe and X1 and Fade and Stug and all the other cool people that hang out in a non-radio. So, let's see. And Coco. Howdy, Coco. I don't see you in recent, but I do see you in the chat. And of course, shout out to Tobe in 35 minutes. We're gonna go to the creek with Tobe and the Dubious Calls Committee. So check that out. That is always a ton of fun. So, all right, let's do this. Let's get into the serious business, the meat and potatoes.
Let's get into the world news. Oh, I have to do this. I've been doing this intro. I'm trying to remember to do this. Whenever we do news from the roof, if you miss any of the news, or if I maybe drop out or something happens, you can see all the news for today at tx0.org/17t. That's tx0.org/17t, like tango. So that's all lowercase, all together here, tx0tangoxray0.org/17tango. So tx0.org/17t. All right, now we can kick it off. First, we go to Beirut. Their port silo collapse brings back blast trauma. Clouds of dust rise over the port after the collapse, which brought down the last of the northern block of silos. The northern section of the grain silos, damaged 2 years ago by a deadly blast at the Beirut port, has it been 2 years already? Wow, I remember when we read that in the show. Beirut port has collapsed after warnings the structure was leaning too far to stay up. A cloud of dust rose over the port early on Tuesday after the collapse, which brought down 8 more silos that were more heavily damaged in the blast, and where a fire has been burning since July. The remaining southern block is more stable and not at imminent risk of collapse, said French civil engineer Emmanuel Durand, who has installed sensors on the silos. The 50-year-old, 48-meter-tall, 157-foot, to help you out, silos, absorbed much of the impact when tons of incorrectly stored ammonium nitrate went up in a massive explosion on August 4, 2020. The silos effectively shielded the western part of Beirut from the blast, which killed more than 200 people. Part of the silos collapsed on July 31st, and another section fell on August 4th, the second anniversary of the blast. Fire has been burning in the silos for more than a month as remaining grain stocks ferment in the summer heat. On Sunday, the health ministry said samples from and around the port showed that the air contained high amounts of common mold, which would not be dangerous unless inhaled in large quantities over a long period of time. In April, the government ordered the silo's demolition, but the operation was put on hold, partly because of objections from relatives of blast victims who want them preserved as a memorial. They also contend that the silos may contain evidence useful for the judicial probe into the blast. Survivors and residents near the port said watching the fire from their homes and offices was like reliving their trauma. Public Works Minister Ali Hamme announced last week that the government had agreed to reserve 25,000 square meters of the port to build new grain silos. This is larger than the current complex, which occupies 21,000 square meters. Hamme said funding would come from international donors as well as the government, which has been bankrupted by crashing financial crisis. So, that's what we know about going on there. Welcome, Tobe. Welcome. Came back with some tea. And thanks for sharing the link, X1. Appreciate it. Alright, so that's what's going on there in Beirut. Now, if we jump over to Malaysia, their ex-prime minister is starting a jail term after his final appeal failed. Najib Razak. Malaysia's former prime minister, sent to jail to begin serving a 12-year sentence after the top court rejected his appeal. And you'll love his defense, I think. This made me laugh out loud. The 69-year-old's charges relate to a corruption scandal involving state-owned wealth fund One Malaysia Development Berhad, or 1MDB. He was convicted in July 2020, but had been out on bail during the appeal. The court also denied Najib's request to delay his sentence. He's continued to deny any wrongdoing. In 2020, a court had found him guilty on 7 counts, centered on a total of 42 million ringgit, which is 9.4 million US or 8 million pounds, which was transferred from SRC International, a former unit of 1MDB, into his private accounts. He was sentenced to 12 years jail and a fine of 210 million, which is 46.8 million US. So,
five times what he's alleged to have stolen.
The defense team had argued Najib was led to believe the funds in his accounts, this is what I thought was funny, the funds in his accounts were donated by the Saudi royal family rather than misappropriated from the state fund. I don't know where this $10 million came from. I thought it was a gift from my rich friends. In his final push for freedom on Tuesday, his lawyer requested the removal of Chief Justice Tengku Maimon Tuan Mat from the panel presiding over the case in what was seen as a bid to forestall a final verdict. The Chief Justice declined the request, as she said the post was before the charges were brought against Najib. She posted something on Facebook they didn't like. The defense is so inherently inconsistent and incredible that it has not raised reasonable doubt on the case, she said. So, he's going to go away for jail for a little while. hello, SCM. Welcome. Alright, so then, let's go over to Finland. I've got an update for you. You may remember the young prime minister was in trouble because she had a party at her house, and I don't know. I feel like this is a... I kind of feel like this might be a gender-based problem, but it also might not be. It might just be me being overly sensitive. But anyway, Finland's PM, she went ahead and took a drug test. She said she hadn't been doing drugs. The backstory is she had a party at her house, or at the official residence of the prime minister, after a music festival, and she was recorded dancing and partying with her friends at her house. And then also later on, a photo of two women without any tops on who were kissing surfaced, and it was a photo taken from the guest bathroom. But all in all, she doesn't deny any of this, but the update is she's tested negative for drugs. Finnish Prime Minister Marin, has tested negative in a drug test she took following the publication of video footage last week that showed her partying with friends. Video clips at a party with Finnish celebrities began circulating on social media last week, and they're published by media outlets in Finland and abroad. She said she was upset the videos of her dancing at a private party was published online, as they were meant to be seen only by friends. Marin's the youngest, became the youngest serving government leader in December 2019, agreed to take the drug test on Friday. Some Finns have voiced support for Marin, and others have raised questions about her judgment. So take that as you will. Hey, Steg, howdy. Yeah, I know, right? I want a leader that I wouldn't feel weird having a beer with. And I can tell you, all the perverts in our Congress, the United States government is just full of, like, sex abusers and stuff. It's really weird. All right. So, let's keep it moving, because it is 13 minutes after the hour. And get the news over with. I want to hear some music. That's right. We need to hear some music. And we also need to prepare ourselves for the dubious goals, which should happen soon. So I got one story for you, and then we'll play a song. China punishes 27 people over tragically ugly illustrations in math's textbook. Investigation finds the books did not properly reflect the sunny image of China's children. I'd want to warn you that lately I've seen a lot more negative news articles about China, regarding China, and being that we're in the West, it's highly likely that these are influenced by political interests. So always take a lot of these negative stories with a grain of salt here. Chinese authorities have punished 27 people over the publication of a math textbook that went viral over its tragically ugly illustrations. A months-long investigation by a Ministry of Education working group found the books were not beautiful, and some illustrations were quite ugly and did not properly reflect the sunny image of China's children. The math books were published by the People's Education Press almost 10 years ago and reportedly used in elementary schools across the country, but they went viral in May after a teacher published photos of the illustrations inside, including people with distorted faces and bulging pants, boys' pictures grabbing girls' skirts, and at least one child with an apparent leg tattoo. Social media users were largely amused by the illustrations, but many also criticized them as bringing disrepute and cultural annihilation to China. In a lengthy statement released on Monday, the education authority said 27 individuals were to have neglected their duties and responsibilities and were punished, including the president of the publishing house, who was given formal demerits, which can affect a party member's standing and future employment. The editor-in-chief and head of the math department editing office were also given demerits and dismissed from their roles. The investigation results were viewed and discussed by hundreds of millions of people on Weibo, with some questioning whether their punishment was far enough. Another story I read that we'll not read in full today indicated that it was only a Weibo rumor, so it hasn't been substantiated yet, but some people were complaining at the end of the Minions Rise of Gru they added some title cards to go ahead and say that Gru went back home and was a good family man and raised his three kids, and Wild Knuckles, I believe, is the guy, the villain's name that he was friends with. Wild Knuckles went to prison and then started a theater troupe, which is kind of fun. Hey, it's Leon G. Welcome, welcome.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, yeah. All right, hopefully we didn't drop when we switched over. And we are back in action. Thank you so much for hanging in there with us. Anon Radio is powered by SDF, but SDF is powered by you. So thanks so much for tuning in and hanging out today. It's always a good time. It's always fun. So glad to see it. We've got some domestic news to go over, but then at 19:30 UTC, happens every single day. I left my watch inside, but in about 10 minutes, at 19:30 UTC, every goddamn day, there is a Dubious Goals Committee episode for you to listen to. And today's no exception.
And today being Tuesday, if you press equal sign in your comm, you'll see what's coming up next, including DJ Leon G with internet noises and organized chaos, followed by Praise Then Darkness tonight at 2300. And Cafe 80s should be happening at midnight if DJ Bronzy B can get on. So should be a lot of fun. Stick around, play around with it. Should be a good time. All right, let's talk about some stuff that we usually talk about at the top of the show. I've kind of pushed some of the death and destruction down. At least 43 people killed in the latest fire in Algeria. At least 43 people have died in the huge fires that have ravaged forests and urban areas of northeastern Algeria in recent days. The Gendarmerie, quoted by Algerian radio, announced the arrest of 13 people suspected of being involved in the arson attacks, which also left nearly 200 people injured, many with serious burns. An earlier report said 38 people had died in the fires, which affected 14 governorates, including the far northeastern region of El Tarf, near the border with Tunisia. So, sad times there. In the United States, well, I guess in Italy, technically, a U.S. soldier is held in Italy for allegedly killing a 15-year-old while driving four times over the legal alcohol limit. There's one thing that Americans like to do. It is break laws in foreign countries. An American soldier has been placed under house arrest at the Aviano U.S. Air Force Base in northern Italy after she allegedly fatally struck a 15-year-old boy with her car while intoxicated. The female soldier, who has not been identified but is said to be 20 years old, reportedly hit the teen while he was walking with friends on a pedestrian trail. The soldier was not found to have any illegal substances in her system, but was reportedly drunk with more than four times the legal driving limit of alcohol in her system. According to the Daily Beast, which is a tabloid kind of place, it's like the Daily Mirror. The boy, Giovanni Zanier, was on his way home from a party with his friends around 2:30 a.m. The teens were walking on a bike trail when the soldier lost control of her car when she came speeding around a roundabout and popped over a median, then struck the group. Giovanni was reportedly thrown several feet into the air and died upon impact. None of the other teens were injured, but they said the soldier was driving fast at the time of the accident. The soldier reportedly tried to provide assistance and stayed at the scene until first responders arrived. Local police took her under custody, but released her into the custody of the U.S. Army. Reports indicate the bike trail the students were on was unlit in an effort for the city to save energy. There's no indication that lighting would have prevented the accident, however, as the car illegally crossed into the bike lane after hopping a median. Local prosecutors are reportedly trying to ensure the soldier is not sent to the U.S. for her trial. In a previous incident, U.S. spy Ann Sakoulas hit and killed a 19-year-old who was riding a motorbike. She was driving on the wrong side of the road at the time of the accident. She was found criminally responsible for the death, but never faced trial as she was sent back to the U.S. after being handed over by local police. Of course, we also know in the UK, someone rode on the wrong side of the road and killed another kid on a motorcycle. But if history teaches us anything, U.S. citizens, especially government personnel, can kill with impunity. So, really sad. Hey, Utsuho is here. Welcome, welcome. Oh, wow, sitting on the beach. I'm jealous. it's a one-sided creek. All right, we've got about 6 minutes to go, keeping you appraised of the time. There's a bunch more news, so I'm just going to run through it. Apple's new iPhone 14 to show India closing tech gap with China. This is about, basically, iPhones have been historically made at a Foxconn plant in China. But with uncertainty in the area, Foxconn also has a factory in India. So sometimes, or with the recent devices, they've started making them in India too. Apple begins to manufacturing the iPhone 14 in India about 2 months after the product's initial release out of China, narrowing the gap between the two countries, but not closing it completely. The company's been working with suppliers to ramp up manufacturing in India and shorten the lag in production of the new iPhone from the typical 6 to 9 months for previous launches. Apple long made most of its iPhones in China as seeking alternatives as Xi Jinping's administration clashes with the U.S. government and imposes lockdowns across the country. Analysts such as Ming-Chi Kuo
Garquo of TF International Securities Groups have said they anticipate Apple will ship the next iPhone from both countries at roughly the same time, which would have been a significant benchmark in Apple's efforts to diversify its supply chain. Foxconn is who's doing this, of course, and they've been doing this since it's the plants near Chennai. The first iPhone 14s from India are likely to be finished in late October or November, with a goal to have them shipping by Diwali. So that's what's going on in Apple land. Hey, welcome, Coco. Thanks for tuning in. Just in time for DGC. What else? Well, we've got a Twitter story. A Twitter whistleblower alleges egregious deficiencies in security. Peter Mudge Zatko says company deceived users, board members, and federal government about strength of its security measures. Twitter's former head of security has accused the company of extreme egregious deficiencies in its handling of user information and spam bots in the scathing whistleblower complaint. Peter Zatko, a veteran hacker and security expert known as Mudge, says the company deceived users. We said that already. Zatko was hired in 2020 by the Twitter co-founder and CEO Jack Dorsey to strengthen the company's security after a mass attack targeted 130 high-profile Twitter accounts. Twitter is grossly negligent in several areas of information security, Zatko wrote in an analysis written in February that was included in the complaint. These problems are not corrected. Regulators, media, and users of the platform will be shocked when they inevitably learn about Twitter's severe lack of security basics. Man, it just goes, it goes on, and it's just worse and worse. Really, if you use Twitter or any of those publicly traded, any of the publicly traded or those big media tech, social media companies, bad news, buddy. Not a great place. All right. Tobe does not have a landline again, so he's going to try and time it by hand. We'll get there. We all appreciate and love you, Tobe. Minnesota news. Minnesota nurses strike vote puts safety and conditions in spotlight. Throughout the COVID pandemic, nurses around the U.S. have faced deteriorating working conditions and challenges from safety concerns to increasing workloads that have stemmed from understaffing as nurses have quit their jobs or retired early. Those nurses who are still on the job at many hospitals say they've been expected to do more with fewer resources, an issue that nurses say is causing retention crises and jeopardizing patient safety and care. Now nurses at 15 hospitals in the Twin City areas and Duluth are negotiating new union contracts with their respective hospitals and have overwhelmingly voted to authorize a strike. The date for the work stoppage has not been set yet by the union. The Minnesota Nurses Association represents 15,000 nurses who voted on the strike. A 10-day notice must be given ahead of any strike, though. So it'd be one of the largest nurses' strikes in history if it happened. So very intense indeed. But that's all the time we got. So thanks so much for listening and tuning in. Check out the Dubious Goals Committee. And we'll be at the house tomorrow, so hopefully. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.